Okay. We are holding on Lamedes, four lines from the bottom. Tanarabanan.
Right there.
Okay. So we're in the middle of learning about the Hadas. We said yesterday the definition of what a Hadas is, that it's got leaves that cover the whole branch, that come in groups of at least three. Tanarabon, we learn in a price. And Nashu Rav Allah, if most of the leaves of the Hadas fell off, but it's shtired by mute, and a minority of the leaves are remaining kosher, it's still kosher, as long as the braidedness of it, anach eis avos, that has to be braided, we said yesterday, as long as that still exists.
So avos doesn't mean covered, it means braided.
So we said that anach, we said that there's two things you need over here. You need to have, it needs to be braided, and it needs to be that the leaves completely cover, or mostly cover, the branch. That's why we said yesterday, we tried the different possibilities, that maybe a face of it, maybe it means a branch from an olive tree. No, that doesn't work, it's not obvious. It's not braided, because you only have two leaves at a time. And then we said that a dulva, whatever the different possibilities of dulva were, chestnut, according to Rashi, something else according to Tosfos, that you have the leaves are sort of like a chain, like one leads into the next one, but they don't completely cover the branch. So here you still have to have braid. So even though most of the leaves are gone, you still, as long as you still have a braid, then you're good. Well, that seems to be a contradiction in terms. Amrit nashu roiv olav kasha. You're saying if most of the leaves fall off, it's kasher. But then you're saying, as long as the chainness, the braidedness of it is still intact. Given the natural today, the assumption is when we say that most, I mean two out of three. If two out of three leave of each one fell off, then how do you find? How is it braided? You only have one leaf on each level at that point. You can find such a thing happen, but also mitzra'ah. With a hadas mitzra. Now, Rashi says two possibilities what mitzra is. One, it means that it grows by the edge of the field, where it has a large, you know, there's nothing else growing nearby, because people don't usually plant all the way to the edge of the field. So therefore, like, there's nothing else taking away nutrients from it, so therefore it's able to grow big and luxurious, more than a regular hadas. No, so what it is actually jekaimit shiva b'chadkina. A hadas mitzri has seven leaves on each level. So it lost four, exactly. So four fall off, partial of its loss, then three are left. So again, an awesome mitzra, so Rashi says one possibility is it means that it grows by the edge of the field, so therefore it has plenty of room to grow, and therefore it grows more luxurious. The second explanation Rashi says is it means a hadas from Mitzrayim. And the third possibility, Rabbi Hananel says that mitzra is meloshin metza, meaning narrow. It's got narrower leaves than normal. A regular hadas has eye-shaped leaves. That's the famous verse, the leaves of the hadas represent a person's eye. So here, an awesome mitzra has narrower ones, so seven of them are able to fit around where normally only three would. Either way, the point is, yeah, that even though most of them have fallen off, four out of seven, nevertheless, you still have three, and therefore you still have the braidedness. You still have the olive.
And you is there any problem with Chatzila? Something like that?
No, so that's the thing. Chatzila, you can use one that has all seven. Right. And that's the next point the Gemara is going to point out.
But you have to
have
everything else also, so it's not
only braided,
but it's totally covered.
Okay, so then, yeah, I mean, there are svarim that talk about the question, do we actually have to have, you know, sometimes when you buy hadassim, sometimes you have the leaves are actually covering the stem. Sometimes they're like sticking out to the sides. They're not actually covering the stem, but they would if you were to push them up. You know, is that okay or not? Yeah. That's. So the point is, in other words, again, over here, even though it's missing most of its leaves, but because the obviousness is still intact, then you're good. As opposed to, though, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if five of the leaves from each level were to fall off, then you would be no good anymore, because then five out of seven, because then you only have two left. Amar Abaye, Shmamino. We see from this, by the way, Hay Asa Mitzra, Kasha LaHishina. We see then that this Hadas Mitzra is kasha for the Hishina. We said the other day that Hishina was what they called the Dalad Minim in those days. So we see that such a Hadas is kasha for it, even though it's got seven. The answer is Ma'od Tamer. You might have thought to say, maybe it's not. However, Iskler, Shem Levi, since it's got an auxiliary name, Loin is Kasher, so maybe it should not be Kasher. Just like we had earlier in the Masechta, for example, that when it comes to Ezov that you use for sprinkling Paraduma water and putting the blood of the carbon base, etc., we said specifically it has to be the kind that's called only Ezov. It's not called Ezov Yavon, it's not called Ezov Roimi, etc. So maybe you would have thought the same thing over here. The Hadas has to be something with no auxiliary name to it, so it can't be called Hadas HaMitzri. Chamash Malon, that's the Chiddush. Then the question that you want to ask is, Ve'im HaChinami, maybe Takazoi, how indeed do you know that a Hadas is fine even if it's got a secondary name? The answer is, all Eitz Aves, Amrachmona, become welcome, because the fact is, the Torah does say Eitz Aves, it doesn't specifically name it as a Hadas. It says it has to be a tree, that's where the leaves of it are like a braid. Makomaka means no matter what. So as long as it's something from that species which has, as we said, it fits all the other criteria. It has leaves that are like a braid. Yeah. They cover the whole branch, and it's not a hirduf, which either has thorns or is poisonous to animals. Then you're good. So even though it's got more.
It's not called any other name, that's why
it's obviously good enough. Right, because if the Torah said the word Hadas, then it would mean something that has to be called only Hadas, like with Ezo. But since the Torah gives the definition of it, the morphology of it, like, then all you have to do is look for that. Tanarabana, we learn in a bright. So Yavshu Roiv Olav, if most of the leaves of the Hadas dried out, Vinishtairobo Shloisha Bade Olin Lachin, and there were three branches with fresh leaves that are still left, kosher, then it's still kosher. Now, what does that mean? Rashi says it means like this. Rashi's saying that all love is referring to the lulav bundle as a whole. The lulav bundle as a whole has three hadassim in it. So even if most of each of those hadassim is dried out, but on each branch you have at least one fresh set of leaves, then you're okay. Other Rishonim say no, that it means we're not talking about the bundle as a whole, we're talking about the individual hadassim in it, that each hadas, in order for it to be kosher, has to have at least three sets of leaves that are kosher. Badim over here, in other words, would not mean individual branches, it would mean sets of leaves. Each hadas by itself is called a bad. Each bad, each branch of hadas has to have in it only one set of leaves that's fresh. Not one olive, but one set of olive.
One set of three
olive, right. 1 second. It means the one at the top of each one. So according to Rashi, what that means is, according to Rashi, who says that it means that each branch has to have one fresh set of leaves, then Rav Chisda is saying, when is it kosher if that fresh set is at the top? Because the top is the main part you notice, just like we'll have in a couple of daft by the when it comes to the asterisk. Even though most of it is dry, but since the top of it is fresh, then you're good. The other Rishonim who learn differently, that it means that any individual hadas has to have at least three sets of leaves. So they say either it means that, so in that itself, as a machlokes. Some say that it means just that it means the three sets of fresh leaves, nine leaves altogether, have to be at the top of the hadas for it to be good. Otherwise, ones in the middle don't count. Or an interesting one that some of us talk about is, even when you have a group of three leaves, you tend to have one leaf that like sticks out more than the others. Like that, if you look at the typical leaves of a hadas, like you have two, and then you have a third one which like sort of covers over parts of the other ones. So that particular one, that when we say Bredosh Kalach V'achad, means that one leaf out of that group has to be fresh in order for the group to be okay. Even if the other two leaves in that particular group are dry, but as long as the largest leaf in the group, like the one that overshadows the other ones, is fresh, then it counts as a fresh group. Nashu is the next thing. We said Yavshu Roiv Olav. We said if most of the leaves dried off. We didn't say Nashu over here. Yavshu Roiv Olav. No, before we were talking about drying off. Now we're talking about a new thing. Yavshu Roiv Olav. If most of the leaves dried. We did Nashu before. We did about the Hadas Mitzra. No, you said Nashu, really? Because the standard Gemara say Yavshu.
We're looking at the right line?
No, you're looking up the right line. That is really interesting. Okay, I see what you said. I don't know. The standard Gemara say yup.
I don't know. Interesting.
So in other words,
either way, it kind of amounts to the same thing, right? Because if the leaves are dried, then they're considered like they're missing anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Next, the Mishnah said Niktam Roisho, that if the top of the Hadas was chopped off, then it's possible. Now, Tony Olabachinina, Niktam Roisho, what happens if the top of the Hadas was chopped off, but also by Tamara, but a Tamara grew on it? Rashi describes the Tamara as, it's like a little green ball that sometimes grows on the top of a Hadas, or also Rashi describes sometimes they grow on arava branches as well. It's like even after it's picked, sometimes, you know, there's still enough vitality in it that it's able to like grow a thing. I guess it would be like the equivalent of scar tissue or something. Rashi describes it, by the way, that these things have a vibrant green color in them, so women use them to as dye for their kerchiefs. Anyway, so Niktam Roshe, but also by Tamara, and if Tamara grew on it, then it's kosher, because then it's not visibly Niktam anymore. So, Boy Rav Yirmiyah, Niktam Roshe Me'erav Yomtev, what happens if the top was chopped off before Yomtev, but also by Tamara by Yomtev, and then this Tamara grew on it on Yomtev, meaning after as Rashi says, after it was already bound together. So you bound the lulav together, yeah, including one or more pasul hadasim. Now on Yom Tov, this tamara grew on it, so those hadasim now became kosher. Mahu, what would be the din? Do we say yesh dichui etzel mitzvahs? Do we say that there's a din of dichui when it comes to other mitzvahs? Oh, like. Now, we learned in Yuma the concept of dichui when it comes to animals, balachayim nidchein or not, that when it comes to karbonos, for example, in many cases we do say the concept of dichui. Something was usable as a carbon. Now it's no longer usable.
Right.
You can't say that it's nira, that it's used. In some cases, you can't say, we said, for example, about the blood of the Sar Lazozo, not the Sar Lazozo, the Sar Lashem. Mm. For example, we talked about a number of cases over there where the carbon is nidcha, and that's it. It's pushed off from. That means there was a point when it was fit for. Well, so there can be two possibilities, which we'll talk. Later on, we'll talk about in the Gemara. There's one possibility called Nira the Nidcha, where it was at one time usable, then it became possible, right. Now you want to make it again kosher, and then you have a case where it was Dochri Me'ikare, where to begin with it was unsuitable for the carbon. We had this also in Psachim, for example. An example of Dochri Me'ikare, for example, would be if you were Makdish an animal, which Lachatchila can't be a carbon Pesach. An example of Nira V'nidcha would be the cases that we talked about over there, for example, where you were Makdish a carbon Pesach, then you lost it, you set aside another one, and then you found the original one. So now, so we know the Din of Dichui applies to Korbanos. The question is, does it apply to other mitzvahs or not? If we say it applies to other mitzvahs, then we would say this Hadas over here was Nidcha, because it was not usable. Because
at what point?
That's the thing. Right now we're not dealing with the question of Nikara or Nira V'nidcha, Rashi says. We'll deal with that more on Amud Beis. Right now we're just asking the general question that since it was Nidcha, it was unusable as a Hadas, and now it's usable, does that make it kosher again? So we want to ask Vatishit Lemeha, why didn't he answer this question based on the following? We have a Mishnah in Chulin talking about the mitzvah of Kisui Hadam, that it says, Kisahu v'nisgala, if you covered the blood and then it became uncovered, so, you know, you covered it with sawdust or whatever, and then the sawdust blew away, potter malachasis, you potter from covering it. The Gemara learns there from Sukkim that you only have a mitzvah of covering it once. Once you covered it, then that's it. You've done the mitzvah. However, Kisahu haruach chayiv lachasis, but if the wind covered it, so wind kicked up some dust and covered the blood, then you're chayiv to cover it. Well, 1 second. Ve'omer rabba babachon amar b'yechanan, lo shonar alo shechazav v'nisgala. When are you chayiv to cover it if it became uncovered? So the wind covered it, then the wind blew off that dirt, and now you have a mitzvah to cover it.
Covered it in the first place?
No, you didn't. That's the thing. You didn't cover it in the first place. The wind blew some dust over it. Okay. Then another wind came and another wind kicked up and blew the dust off. Okay. If it's not uncovered, then you're potter from covering it. Which means, in other words, if we consider that time in between, after the wind covered the blood and before the wind uncovered it, that blood is nidcha from doing the mitzvah. Because as long as it's covered by the dirt that the wind blew over it, you're putting more dirt over it, it's not going
to
accomplish anything.
You
have no mitzvah to cover it at that point. Only if it becomes uncovered will you get back the mitzvah that you have to cover it. So we see, therefore, that So now in Cholin the Gemara discusses it. So when it becomes uncovered, why you chayiv to cover it again? And the answer, you would think, once it was pushed off from the mitzvah, it should be pushed off. Once it was covered by the, once the wind covered it up with dirt, then that's it. It was nidche at that point. How does it become nira again for the mitzvah? And her papa says that goes to show that there's no dichri when it comes to other mitzvahs. So yes, as long as that blood was covered, then you popped it from covering it. It's nidche. It's not available for the mitzvah. As soon as it becomes uncovered, it's nira again. So therefore, so you should say the same thing over here. Yes, as long as the hadas is possible, you can't use it. Even though it became nira on its own, on Yom Tov, then yes, automatically now you're allowed to use it. The answer is the Gemara says, "Did a papa go from a boyle?" Rabbi Yirmiyah, who was asking this question, knew of Rav Papa's answer. Now, really, I mean, historically, Rav Papa is a couple of generations after Rabbi Yirmiyah, but obviously, you know, even though we have the answer in the name of Rav Papa, obviously the answer itself was known in earlier times also. So, Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking on this answer of Rav Papa itself. Is it mifshat poshet leidein dichriyot mitzvahs? Is it that the Tana of that Mishnah that talking about kisi adam knows for a fact that dichri doesn't apply to mitzvahs, and therefore loishna lakula v'loishna lachumra, so it wouldn't matter whether we're talking lakula or lachumra. So over there, when it comes to ein dichriyot mitzvahs, is a chumra, that because the blood is now uncovered, you have to go recover it. We don't say that nidcha and you've lost your opportunity. That would be a chumra. On the other hand, but if we say that he takes it as a given in Dichrius Mitzvahs, then we can also apply the same thing with Kula to our case of the Hadas. The Hadas was possible. Now you want to be able to use it for the Mitzvah. We would say, in Dichrius Mitzvahs, with Kula.
Regarding the Dichrius Mitzvahs, there we said, if it's covered and uncovered, covered originally and then it becomes uncovered, you have to recover it.
Then if you didn't cover it yourself, you have a mitzvah of covering it.
Okay, then you have a mitzvah of covering it, so there's no dichri there.
That's exactly what we're saying. But that's what Rav Yirmiyah is asking. When Rav Papa is saying, ain't dichri as a mitzvah, is the Tana of that Mishnah saying that, knowing that as a factual matter, it's a given that ain't dichri as a mitzvah?
Yeah.
In that case, then that applies just as much to Chumrah as the Kola. So there, in the case of Kisei Adam, that makes a Chumrah. You have to cover this blood. In the case of Hadas, that would be a Kola. That you're allowed to use the Hadas. We don't say that it's Nidcha. No, because they're not forcing you. Go use another Hadas if you want. Oidilma, or maybe not. Maybe Sapuke Misapkele. Maybe the Tana of that Mishnah has a suffix. Therefore, and Lachula Amrinan, Lachula Amrinan. Therefore, maybe we would only say it Lachumra, but not Lachula. So Lachumra, when it comes there to Kisei Adam, do the Kisei Adam again, just to be on the safe side. But maybe not Lachula. Maybe the Hadas can't be. Maybe when it comes to the Hadas, we would say Yesh Dichriyat the Mitzvah. Okay. So that's left undetermined. So that, therefore, so far, we don't know an answer to Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. We will see further on. Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to revisit this, Well, now we're going to talk about also that there's machlokes tanurim on it, but then the Gemara is going to further revisit this issue of dichri on Amud Beis.
Because
in case ain't dichri has the mitzvah, in case the mitzvah is not considered nidcha now, in case he has the mitzvah to do it.
Okay,
and the chumra here by the hadas would be to say that you can't use this hadas because when it came the beginning of Yom Tov already it was unusable. That's what we would be arguing. If it's a suffix. If we have a suffix whether yesh dichri has a mitzvah or not, then we would always have to decide that suffix in the chumra. So when it means that you have to do the mitzvah just to be on the safe side, you would have to do it. When it means you can't use this object for the mitzvah, because it might be nidcha, then you can't use it. That's what we're asking. Why is it? That's what we're asking. Even according to the Tana, the Gemara had asked on Rabbi Yirmiyah has this question about the Hadas. Why didn't he answer it based on the mission of Kisei Adam? And the answer is, he knew the Mishnah of Kisei Adam. Because he didn't know, did the Mishnah there mean to say it's a given that Ein Dichri is a mitzvah? Or we're not sure. Maybe you just have to do Kisei Adam. Not because the Torah actually requires you to, but maybe just in case the Torah requires you to. Well, then in the case of a Hadas, you can't say that.
You can't say that because...
Because you'd be trying to use it Lekula. You'd try to say that this Hadas is okay to use, when maybe it's not okay to use, because it was Nidcha. Can we say that this is actually like a machlokes tanoim? We learned in the Mishnah that if the hadas has berries on it, then if there's more berries than leaves, we said, then you're not allowed to use it. Incidentally, you know, there's a famous thing we always say about the Dalad Minim, you know, that the Esrog has a taste and a smell, the Lulav has a taste, the dates, but no smell, etc. The Hadas, we say, has a smell but no taste. What we see here, it has berries, and we're going to learn on Amud Beis that those berries are even edible. So what do you mean? The answer is because even though those berries are edible, they're not really, it's not a normal thing to eat. And in fact, there are poskim, I think the Shibbolei Alekhet says that if you eat those berries from a hadas, you would make shahakal on them. So they're not a normal thing to eat. So it's not really considered something that has fruit. Anyway, so the Mishnah had said that if the hadas has more berries than leaves, then you're not allowed to use it. But the Mishnah had said im miyatan kosher, if you picked off the berries, then it's kosher. But the Mishnah had said ve'ein mamatin b'yomtov, but you're not allowed to take them off on yomtov. Why you're not allowed to take them off on yomtov, we'll learn soon. But first, so the Abraisa says, if a person was over and went ahead and picked the berries on Yom Tov, even though he's not supposed to, then the hadas stays possible. Dibir Abulazib ben Tzadik. V'chom makshir, and the Chom says kosher. Now, there's a few different reasons why we could argue that it's possible and kosher. But the Gemara is going to start off with the assumption like this. Savarua, the Yeshivalite who asked this question, thought to say Dekula Alma Lulav Ein Tzarech Eged, that both Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Tzadik and the Chachamim agree that the lulav does not have to be bound together for the mitzvah, which we learned about the other day, which is in fact the halacha. The minim do not have to be bound together. We do it because of no, right? Vezakei Levan Veyo, exactly. And they all, and also the assumption is. The imtim tzalayim at tzarech eged, or another possibility, even if you say that it does need eged, lo yafin and lulav misukkah, that we do not learn lulav from sukkah. Dechdib batasev alay min ha'asri, where by the sukkah it says chagas sukkah tasev machal shivat yomim, and we learned back in the first and second parak that means it can't be made, it can't be ready made. That's why we said, for example, you can't hollow out a haystack, you can't use bundles that were put on there to dry out, etc. All those different possibilities. So there's two possibilities. Either you say that the lulav does not involve asiya at all, because it doesn't need eged, it doesn't need to be bound, or even if it does need to be bound, we don't say that just like a sukkah has to be made specifically for the sake of shade, so also the minim have to be bound in a way that they're kosher for the mitzvah. So therefore, the only thing that would be left is my lab, the Hakam Miflagi. So then, wouldn't the Machlokas come out to as follows? Demand a postal, Rav Elazar ben Tzadik, who says that it would be possible if you pick the berries on Yom Tov, Sava Yeshdichriyas, Aminin Yeshdichriyas, the mitzvahs. He holds, we do say there's Dichri by mitzvahs. So what happens over here? Not only when Yom Tov began, this Hadas was possible because it had berries on it. You're going and picking the berries on Yom Tov. But by that time, it's already nidcha. It already, mela, if you pick the berries before Yom Tov, okay, it never became something shayach to the mitzvah anyway, because, before Sukkot, the mitzvah doesn't begin. But once Yom Tov began, and you picked the berries, and Rashi, by the way, points out over here that even though, I mean, so what if you pick the berries Yom Tov night, you don't take the lulav till the next morning? Yeah, the answer is, Rashi says that technically, I mean, the mitzvah really begins already at the beginning of Yom Tov. As a practical matter, you can't take it till the next morning. But already, by the time Yom Tov begins, it's already cold.
You can pick it up and do whatever you want.
No, you can't, you wouldn't be yotze the mitzvah until the morning.
No, but you can handle it.
You could handle it, that's a different matter. But no, we're talking about as an object of a mitzvah, it already has the kedusha of the mitzvah from the first night. So therefore, even at that point already, if it still has the berries, we're saying it's possible. And Rav Elazar ben Tzadik is saying if you pick them any time after Yom Tov begins, it still stays possible because yesh dichri yetz mitzvah. Because once it's nidcha, once it's pushed off from being used for the mitzvah, then it can't become kosher again on Yom Tov. Umanda machsher and the chachamim hold that it's kosher. Sava loyamin and yesh dichri yetz mitzvah. They would hold there's no dichri. So yes, it was not usable at the beginning of Yom Tov. Now you made it usable. Okay, you weren't supposed to, because you're not supposed to pick the berries on Yom Tov. But the fact of the matter is, you did make it. It's no longer nidcha, and therefore you're good.
What about the other side of the
Ah, so that's what the Gemara is going to take up now.
What are we thinking of at this point?
At this point, we're thinking that either two possibilities. Either there's no asiya involved with lulav at all, because the only thing you have to do with the lulav is pick it up to and it to be yotze with it. You do not have to bind it b'chlal, so there's no asiya ahead of time. Unlike with the sukkah, in order to sit in the sukkah, you have to have made it. But with the lulav, according to this way of looking at it, there's no pre-making that has to be done.
If you picked up the berries, it's like an
asiya
at that point?
No. We're saying that there is no asiya to speak of. When it comes the first night of Sukkot, or the first day of Sukkot, whatever, then the lulav, the hadas, and etc., the other minim that you have, are already ready for use. There's nothing more, there's nothing of which we can say tas of alayim in asri, that at this point, this is something that's not usable at the beginning of Yom Tov, and then in the middle of Yom Tov it becomes, we're going to say, let's go back to the Sukkah a second. The Sukkah, what we're saying is, for example, that it has to have been built for the sake of shade. Not for the sake of the mitzvah, that was only according to Beis Shammai, but for the sake of shade.
Right.
So therefore, for example, we talked about you put bundles on the roof to dry off, let's say, then it's no good. You have to pick them up and put them down in the shame sukkah. That way, because otherwise what's going to happen, you're going to be sitting in a sukkah that was made, the pre-making of it, which was made before the mitzvah was chal, it was not made properly. It was v'loy min ha'asri. Here, what we're saying is there is no pre-making to speak of. You buy a lulav and esrog and so forth before sukkahs. And that's it. Immediately it comes Yom Tov. Immediately, then they become the Dalad Minim.
There's no mitzvah of
Asiyah, because there's no mitzvah to bind them together. So that's one way of looking at it. There's no mitzvah to bind them together. Therefore there's no task of Alayim and Asiyah to speak of, or that there is a mitzvah to bind them together. So therefore there is an Asiyah involved. But we say by Sukkah task of Alayim and Asiyah, not necessarily would we say by the Dalad Minim. Of Alayim and Asiyah, because by the Dalad Minim, the Torah doesn't use the word Tasa. So that's what we're assuming, that it's one of those two possibilities. So therefore, what would be the reason for the Machlokas about the berries would have to be because it's a question of Dichri or not. Not necessarily. Maybe everybody agrees that there's no Dichri by mitzvahs. Again, the Machlokas could be that yes, everybody agrees there is an Asiyah involved, but the question is, the Tasa of Alayim and Asiyah applied to the Lulav. Do you learn it that way? Mar Savar, the Rav Elazar Rav Tzav called Yafin and Lulav Misukkah, that we do learn Lulav from Sukkah. So therefore, just as the Sukkah has to be Tasav Alayim and Asiyah, that's a given, so does the Lulav. So therefore, when you bound the Lulav and Hadassim and Aravis together, if the Hadassim at that point were Pasul, and now you're doing something to the Hadassim to make them kosher, namely picking off the berries, that would be Tasav Alayim and Asiyah. Because the Asiyah was done with Pasul Hadassim.
When did you bind it? Probably earlier.
You bound it before Yom Tov, but the point is, yeah, the same way as you build the sukkah before Yom Tov.
So what do we hold that? Everybody agrees that we need Egged?
At this point, we're assuming that everybody needs Egged, yeah.
Okay, so in other words, you bound it before Yom Tov, but the things that were buried on it, you picked up the berries.
So when you bound it, when you did the Asiyah, that Hadass was Pasul. Now you want to say that because you picked off the berries, that would be the equivalent of deciding that you want to sit under the sukkah which you put bundles up there to dry.
By picking off the berries,
that's not considered an asiyah in the actual bundle itself. What would you have to do after you pick off the berries? You'd have to untie the bundle and retie it. And you can't do that anyway, because you can't tie in Yom Tov. We'll talk about that at the end of the sukkah. Lulav misukkah. So one says we learn lulav from sukkah. So therefore, you need tasa of alayim and asri.
If you bound it already,
once
you picked up the berries, you'd have to rebind it.
You'd have to rebind it, right?
Can't just keep it bound.
Exactly.
But tikkun mane? What about
tikkun mane? We'll talk about more on Amud Beis. Wait.
Okay, alfin and lulav misukkah. So therefore.
So therefore, tasa of alayim and asri. Omar Sava and the Chachamim hold loyofin and lulav misukkah that we don't learn lulav from sukkah. So even though you need an asiyah, even though you need to bind it, we're not worried about tasa of alayim and asri. Or another possibility, if we were to hold that the lulav does need to be bound, then fine. The kolama yafin and lulav misukkah, then fine. Everybody would agree that we would learn lulav from sukkah, and therefore you would say that you have passive alayim and also applies to lulav as well. The machlokas is actually between this and between Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik and the Chachamim is actually, do you even need to bind the lulav or not? Rav Elazar Rav Tzadik holds you do need to bind the lulav, therefore tassav alayim and asiyah applies. The Chachamim holds you don't need to bind it. There's no asiyah involved, therefore there's no tassav alayim and asiyah.
What happened to everybody agrees with dichui?
Then now we're saying that everybody agrees. Everybody's saying there's no dichui. There's no dichui. But it's either do you are you worried about tasav aluminos? So or bechlal do you or bechlal does the lulav even need egged? Egged come here, Or we're close to tani tanoi, and then it would be the same machlokas as the following tanoi. The tani we learn over right. So lulav ben ogud ben shena ogud kosher. The lulav is kosher whether it's bound or whether it's not. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm all good kosher, shein all good possible. Rabbi Yehuda says only if it's bound it's kosher. If it's not bound, it's possible.
The
Tanakhama agrees you should bind it,
yeah.
Because that Zekeli Vadeo, we'll get to that in a few lines.
Okay.
But, yes. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm all good kosher, shein all good possible. My time is Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason? We said earlier in the Masechta, Yalach Lekicha, Lekicha, Me'agudat Ezer, because he makes a Zeh Shava of the word Lekicha from the bundle of Ezer that they used over there in Mitzrayim to put the blood on their doorposts. Ksiv Hacha, Lekachtem Lachem Bayemarisha, you should take for yourselves on the first day. Ochtiv Hacha, Lekachtem Agudat Ezer. So Malaham Agudat, just like by the Ezer, the Pasuk clearly says it has to be a bundle. Afkar Agudat, the same thing here, it has to be a bundle. The Rabbanon, less lehu lekicha lekicha, the Rabbanon do not agree with that Zera Shava. In general, we know that a person, we talked about before, that a person can't make up a Zera Shava on their own. So Rabbi Yehuda had the Kabbalah from his Rebbeim, this Zera Shava. The Chachamim did not.
I think we said
back when the Gemara discussed this on Dafya Beis or Gimel, I think we said that they didn't use that Zera Shava at all. Now, man, the Gemara asks, man Tana laha de Tana Rabbanan. Who is the Tana? Who is the author of the following braisa? Lulav mitzvah la'ogdoi. The lulav, it's a mitzvah to bind it. Ve'im la'ogdoi kasher. But if you didn't bind it, it's kasher. Now we have to ask, Mani, who is that like? Irab Yehuda, if it's coins of Yehuda, what do you mean? Kila ogdoi my kasher. If you didn't bind it, it's not kasher. He says it's possible. And if it's coins of Rabbanon, my mitzvah covered. What do you mean? It's a mitzvah. Coins of that, it doesn't make a difference.
Right.
The answer is loyal than Rabbanon. No mitzvah, Mishum, Zekeli, Van Behu. So there we get the idea. So coins of Rabbanon, in other words, you should do it, but you yoitz it even if you didn't. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you must do it, and if you don't do it, it's possible. The halacha is like the Rabbanon. So you are supposed to bind it. We'll talk about another day what happens if it gets, if it comes untied during Sukkot, during Yom Tov. But the Me'ikir Adin, even if a person were to pick up the Lulav separately and the Hadassim separately and the Aravah separately and the Eshim separately, he would be Yoytah.
They have to do it all at the
same time. Right. Mishnah said, Oshahayu Anovim Rubin, that if there's more berries than leaves, then the Hadass is possible. So Amr of Chista, Dover Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amru, the following thing, our great Rebbe said this. Who is our great Rebbe? Rashi says that means Rav. Rav's real name was Rav Abba, but Rav Chista was his Talmud, so he calls him out of respect, Rabbeinu HaGadol, our great teacher. And he adds a bracha for him, V'hamakim yiv Ezra, Hashem should give him assistance. Rav Pashtas L'Aruch Lener says that sounds like Rav was still alive at the time, so like nowadays, you say Shlita on somebody, so he's saying Hamakim yiv Ezra. Anyway, what's the din? This that we're saying that it's possible is only if the berries are in one place. But if it would be in two or three different places, scattered all around the Hadass, then it would be kosher. Merubas ma'olav, that if it had more berries than leaves, then we said that it's possible. So Rav Chista is saying now that Rav said that's only if they're all clustered together in one place. Then it would be kosher. Amalei Rava, so Rava asked him, and actually, Hagoras Habach takes out the word le, and the Aruch Lener points out, if we say that Hamakim Yir Be'ezrei means that Rav Chista is saying this while Rav was alive, then that explains why we're taking out the le. Rav was born long after Rav passed away. So you can't say Rav Chista could not possibly have been saying this while Rav was alive and then have Rav answer to him. Rava was actually the son-in-law of Rav Chista, so they lived at the same time. But if we say that Rav Chista is saying on Rav Hamakim Yir BeEzrei that Hashem should be in his assistance,
yeah,
meaning that he's still alive,
yeah.
Rav passed away many years before Rava was born. The Gemara expresses in Kedushin like this, that we know that Rav Yehuda was one of the big Talmidim of Rav. And the Gemara. Okay. You know what? Fine. Anyway, Omalei Rava. So Rava says to him, "What do you mean? Shnayim or Shloshim or Kaimis? Have a Menumah or Kotel? If you have the berries scattered in two or three places, then it's even worse. Then it's for sure not Hadar, because then it looks like spotted.
Right.
The berries, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, are red or black. The leaves of the Hadassim are green. Mm-hmm. So Adarabah, if you have them scattered all over the place, it's going to be even worse. That'll be even less Hadar than if it's in one place." Ella itmar hachi itmar. So you're right. The Gemara says if this that Rav Chista is saying is correct, then what it was supposed to be is as follows: that when the Mishnah says if there's more berries than leaves, then it's possible. And on that, Amar Rav Chista, that this is what our great Rebbe Rav said. V'amakom yivei Ezra, Hashem should help him. That loyshanu ella anav of shchoros. That renders the Mishnah talking about that the hadas is possible if it has a lot of berries, if it has black berries. Because then they look very different than the hadas. Avalanov of Yerukos, but if the berries are green, no problem. Minit hadas, then it's just considered the part of the hadas for kosher, and then it would be kosher. So now we're saying, in other words, according to the second version, it doesn't matter. If there are black ones, it doesn't matter whether they're in one place or in many places. Either way, it looks visually very different than the hadas, therefore it makes it possible. Whereas if you have green ones, it doesn't matter how many there are, because it all looks like part of the hadas anyway.
When we say ella e is ma'achin, that's just like we have no proof that he said it.
Right, the Gemara is saying ella e itma. If Rav Chista was saying this hochi itma, what he meant to say was as follows. We're correcting what he said, basically.
Based on what?
Based on the logical point that Rava made, that wouldn't work.
But there we're talking about two or three places. Now all of a sudden we're talking about black and green and everything. You know, it's like it's based on the Sfarah, and I have no proof.
You could argue maybe that if the berries are green, that what he means to say is like this: if there's black berries, then it doesn't matter even if the Ramakam Echad, the whole thing looks spotted. Whereas if they're green, they can be Shnayim or Shlosh Mekaymus, and then it would be fine. In other words, you could be talking about Makam Echad versus Shnayim or Shlosh Mekaymus. Could be talking about different colors.
I'm saying the thing about Hachi Itma is a matter of. It's not a proof or a tradition, it's a matter of a swara.
It's a matter of a swara, yeah, but I'm saying we can manage to squeeze it into the words that Rav Chista said. Loy shanu al makam echad, when is it possible if you have black berries even in one place? Al v'shnayim or shloshim makamis, but if you have green berries even if it's in two or three places, then it would be kosher. Amar papa, adumas kishchores damien, red berries have the same din as black berries. Even though, now what normally happens, Rashi says, is the berries start off green, then they turn red, and eventually they turn black. So if they're red, they have the same issue. It would still be considered spotted, and therefore it would be possible. The Amr of Chanina, because we see Rav Chanina says in the case of Hilchos Nida, the Gemara explains there, and there's a Mishnah in Nida that says that there's five colors of blood that make a woman tummy. Technically, no other shade makes her tummy. In practice nowadays, most Rabbanim don't have the expertise to be able to tell those shades, so therefore anything that has a reddish or whatever color is she's tummy misafik. But the Mishnah puts there four shades of red and black. Now the Gemara learns there from Sukkim that Dafka has to be red. So then how does black fit in there? So, because the Amar of Chanin, high dam shachar, black blood, adam hu, it originally was red blood, el shalaka, but it deteriorated, as blood will do when it's exposed to the air. So therefore, the black, therefore, is considered a kind of red. So the same thing over here, when the berries turn black, they're considered a kind of red, and vice versa, either one is equally possible. The Mishnah said in miyatan kosher, if you reduce the number of berries by picking them, then they're kosher. Then the harvest is kosher. The question is, d'matinu emas, when did you take off the berries that were saying that the hadas is kosher? If you're saying that you take them off before you bind the hadasim together with the lulav, well, then pshita.
What do we leave that at this point? The
egged
or?
No, we don't know yet. But either way, I mean, there's no question you should do the egged. Even the Chachamim said before that's mitzvah and amuchah to do that. So if you pick off the berries before you put it into the branch, well, then what's the chiddush? Of course, I mean the same thing. You can't even say there would be a problem of tassav alignment. Also, you can't say there's a problem of dichui either, because dichui again, dichui only applies if the thing had something to do with the mitzvah at the time when it was nidcha.
Yeah.
Here, before you even pick it and before you even put it together with the other minim.
When are you doing
that? Pashtus before yomtiv.
No problem. You complete the problem, right?
No, but that's what we're saying. Before you put it into the bundle, it's just considered like any hadas in the world. So, of course, at that point, there's no nidcha.
Okay.
There's no nidcha. The nidcha is not relevant.
So you can take up the service.
Yeah. So then the commissioner wouldn't have to say that. El baso de la agde, you're going to say that it means after you bound the lulav together? Well, then you have to say such a thing as dichri meikarahu. Then it's something which, to begin with, when the afiyah of the mitzvah was done, it was already nidcha. Well then, since the Mishnah is saying that even after that point it's kosher if you take off the berries, tipshit me not, duchri me kara lo have a duchri. We had Rabbi Yirmiyah's question before about duchri. At least we should be able to answer one part of it. That if it's duchri to begin with, that's not considered duchri. In other words, if you have something that was nira, that was usable for the mitzvah, and then it was nidcha, then it became no good. For example, the Gemara will give the example soon that the berries, let's say, were green when you bound together the lulav, then they turned red,
yeah.
And then you picked them. So they have nira v'nircha v'choyzev. So fine, maybe that you would say is no good. But here, where the Mishnah is saying that the Mishnah sounds like it's saying that l'chatchila, when you bound it together, it had red or black berries.
Yeah.
And afterwards you pick them, and the Mishnah is saying it's kosher. It sounds like, therefore, at least we know now that duchri meikara is not a problem. Just because it was possible to begin with when you bound the lulav, fine, but as soon as you make it kosher, then it's good.
We said earlier that it's a problem with duchri.
That's what we're asking, whether it's a problem. Again, within duchri itself, there's a few different cases that we can distinguish. There's duchri meikara, where to begin with it was no good, and then there's nira v'nidcha v'chaz v'nira, where it was usable, then it became unusable, and then it became usable again. I mean, you know, examples of that in Korbanos are, for example, nira v'nidcha, you know, another example of that in Korbanos, besides what we were talking about before with the Korban Pesach, an example of duchri meikaroi, let's say, would be, you have, let's say, for example, a goy is makdish a korban, which is the type of korban which he's not suitable to bring, and then he becomes a ger. It's dochi meikara. To begin with, that was unsuitable. He's an unsuitable person to bring a carbon. As opposed to, then you have a case of a Yisrael mummer, a person who was chayiv in a carbon. He set aside a carbon, maybe even. Then he became a mummer. He started deliberately worshiping a bezara or doing other avedas. So then he's not suitable to bring a carbon. And then he does tshuva. That's nidav nidcha b'chaz v'nira. So here, at least, if we're saying that when you bound the hadas together with the rest of the minim, that it already had black berries on it, and you're saying at that point it's possible, and then as soon as you pick the berries, it becomes kosher, that's dichui meikaroi. So at least we should be able to prove that that's good. That answers at least half. That answers half of Rabbi Yirmiyah's question.
What about tassav alayman asim? How does it apply to
it? We're saying tassav alayman asim may not be an issue, because if we say lulavein sarach eged, then fine. Then we're not worried about that. But the fact is, once you bind it together, it shows that you're designating it for the mitzvah. It's the equivalent of being makdish something as a carbon. So tifshit mina dichui meikara la habadichui. So you should be able to prove from that dichui meikara is not considered dichui. The answer is la'olam basa d'agde. No, the Mishnah could be talking about even that you took off the berries after you bound it together. Because the Mishnah holds eged has mona ba'almahu. Because our Mishnah would be holding that the eged is not considered making it, is not considered actually making it an object of a mitzvah. It just has mona ba'almahu. It's just like designating it as something that's going to be used for a mitzvah. Hazmana is the equivalent of, for example, we talk about in connection with Hilchos Tefillin, that you have, for example, you set aside a certain bag that you're going to use for your tefillin, and then afterwards you start using it. Hazmana, we say, is lav milti. Therefore, for example, you're allowed to change your mind and use that bag to carry something else. Once you put in the tefillin already, then it becomes a tashmish of kedusha, and then you can't put money or whatever in it.
Hazmana in that case,
you didn't actually put it in yet, right? So we're saying over here the same thing. Tying the minim together could just be considered hazmana. Hazmana ba'alma, lav kumhu, and hazmana itself is not considered anything. So even though, yes, you bound it together, getting it ready for the mitzvah, but at that point it does not become a chesa of a mitzvah yet. So therefore you could argue that even after that, if you picked off the berries before Yom Tov, then it's not, there's no dichui involved over here, because again, it was not an object of a mitzvah yet. You're getting it ready to be used as one, but it's not actually, it has not actually become an object of a mitzvah until Yom Tov comes. No, we're saying you picked it up before Yom Tov. The next part of the mission is that you're not allowed to pick them off on Yom Tov. But in other words, if on Erev Yom Tov you took a hadas that had berries on it and bound it into your lulav, and then afterwards you realized, you know what, wait a minute, I looked it up in Shulchan Aruch, such a thing is possible, and you picked off the berries.
Before Yom Tov.
The chiddush of the Mishnah would be, you can't, we're not worried about dichri at all. It's not a question of dichri at all. That's why Rabbi Yirmiyahu couldn't use this to answer his question, because it's just a matter of, by binding it together, all you've done is hazmana. When might it be a problem? When the Mishnah still might be implying that if you were to wait until Yom Tov or until Chol HaMoed and pick off the berries, maybe then you would have a problem of dichri. The mission is not getting into that, though.
In other words, originally the Elabah, the Baka, the Dagri. In other words, he made the Eged and Erev Yom decently terrible.
That's what we thought. That when you do the Eged, actually makes this Hadas now an object of a mitzvah, and therefore Dichui starts applying. So if it's Nidcha now, if it's not
before Yom Tov, you say.
Before Yom Tov, yeah.
And when did you pick it up? You picked up the berries after you made the Eged.
Yeah. That's why the Gemara thought to say that that's a case of dichui.
What did they pick up the berries before Yom Tov?
So now, in the end, we're saying you pick off the berries before Yom Tov, but the point is, until Yom Tov begins, dichui is not relevant. I'll try to explain it again briefly. We thought to say that as soon as you bind the minim together, even if you say you don't need binding to be yotz the mitzvah, but the fact is you do bind the minim together, we thought to say as soon as you bind them together, that makes this hadas be something that is going to be used for a mitzvah. It makes it a chesa of a mitzvah. Therefore, at that point, dichui starts applying. Well, then in that case, if at that point the hadas was possible, and then you made it kosher, and we're saying that it's okay, then that shows that dichui does not apply. The answer is that we're saying no. Dichui is not even relevant until Yom Tov begins. Before Yom Tov, you can't even speak of dichui or not. Because all you did by binding it is just hazmana. And that's not considered anything of significance. Does that help any?
I have to try.
Then the Mishnah continued, "Ve'ein mamatin b'Yom Tov," that you cannot reduce the number of berries on Yom Tov. You can't pick the berries on Yom Tov, which the Gemara says, which implies ha'av of a lichtan mai. So what would happen if a person was over and picked them? What would be the din? Kosher.
Right. Are we talking about the Eved and
anything? Yeah. If the Mishnah is saying you're not supposed to take off the berries on Yom Tov, now here's the point: there shouldn't be a problem with taking off the berries on Yom Tov anyway, because I mean, it would be the equivalent of picking grapes off a bunch or something. The hadas is already chopped off from the ground.
Right.
So picking off the berries on it, what would be the problem? Why is the Mishnah saying you can't take them off on Yom Tov?
You should probably pick them up and eat them.
Right. Must be. Why would we assume that there's a problem? Like you said before, tikkun mana.
Okay.
The pashtus, because if you take off the berries, you're going to make the hadas kosher.
Right.
So that's the question. Ha'av of a list on mice. So if a person was over and picked the berries on Yom Tov, then what are you going to say? Kosher? Now you have to consider the question, da'ashur emas. When did the berries turn black? Which is when we say they're possible, because we said before, that as long as they're green, they're still good. Ilema da'ashur me'esmel, if you say that they became black before Yom Tov, dichui me'ikarahu, then you definitely can say that it's dichui, because again, even if we say that dichui does not apply before Yom Tov, it definitely applies once Yom Tov begins. So then you have it dichui to begin with. And tifshit mino, you should be able to answer from that the question that dichui meikara deloy have a dichui. Obviously, something that's nidcha to begin with is not nidcha, because we see once you pick the berries on Yom Tov, then it becomes kosher. So again, we should be able to, again, Rabbi Yirmiyahu should have been able to use that to answer his question on Amud Aleph. How about another possibility? Ella lav the ashkur Yom Tov. How about another case where they became black on Yom Tov? Then it's a different kind of dichui. Nireh v'nidchu. Then it's a case where it was suitable, the mitzvah, because when Yom Tov began, it was still suitable because it was green. Then on Yom Tov, it was nidcha because it became black. And now you're trying to make it nidra again by picking the berries. And the Mishnah is talking about that it's kosher. Shamat mina nidra v'nidcha chayz v'nidra. So again, you can at least prove one case of dichri in that case. Rav Yumiyad asked the generic question, is dichri a problem with mitzvahs? One way or the other, based on this last piece of the Mishnah, you should be able to answer one way or the other that it's okay. Nidra v'nidcha would be the bigger chiddush for Pashtos. Rashi says, for example, that there's no question that dichri mikara is better off. Something that was not usable, that was never usable for the mitzvah, and now you want to make it usable, is obviously on a higher level than something that was usable and then became possible, and now you want to make it kosher again.
What do you mean by higher level?
In other words, it's more, Rashi says, it's better. In other words, there's more reason to say that dichri mikara should be good than to say that nidra v'nidcha should be good. Because think of it, I mean, dochi mikare would be the equivalent, for example, of, every animal, let's say, for a carbon, every animal is nidcha mikare for a carbon because you can't bring it until it's 8 days old. But then it becomes nira, then it becomes available to use as a carbon. On the other hand, though, I mean, that you should say that a carbon that was nira, that was available as a carbon, and then it was nidcha, then it was pushed off, for example, it became a bal mum, that it should be chayz of a nira, that it should become available as a carbon again, that's a little more difficult to say. In the case of a bal mum, okay, we learn it from Sukkim, but in the case of other things, yeah. So either way, we should have some answer on some part of dichui. The answer is loy, not necessarily. La'olam da'ashchum eikara. You could be, the Mishnah could be talking about, like our original assumption, the berries turn black before Yom Tov. So, we could answer, dichui meikara d'lehava dichui tifshimina. It's true, you can answer from the Mishnah that half, that dichui meikara is not considered a dichui. Yes, you could answer based on that. So in that sense, we do have an answer to half of Rabbi Yumi's question. But again, because nira v'nidcha is harder to say, you might not be able to prove that from the Mishnah.
Never
nira, you might be able to prove, but that nidcha, where it was usable and then became unusable, that it should be chayz of a nira, that it should become usable again. So again, the case where the leaves were green when Yom Tov, where the berries were green when Yom Tov started, turned black in the middle of Yom Tov, and then you picked them, not necessarily is the Mishnah talking about such a case. Maybe in such a case, it would take a stay fossil.
So my case was black in the beginning.
Yeah, where it's black in the beginning, then you could say it's good. Turn it up, we learn in a braise, ain mamatin be Yom Tov, you're not allowed to pick the berries on Yom Tov. Mishum Rav Elazar ben Shimon, I'm a Mamatin, according to what they said in the name of Rav Elazar ben Shimon, that you are allowed to pick them. What do you mean you're allowed to pick them? Vakam a second man of a Yom Tov. But you're fixing up a keli on Yom Tov. Before it was not usable for the mitzvah, now it is. Rishonim discussed the question, are we talking about that it would actually be a malacha d'oraisa or just an issur d'rabbanan? Anyway. Rav Ashi says, okay, but you could be talking about a case where you're picking them in order to eat. You're not picking them for the sake of making the hadas kasha. You're picking them because you want to munch on them. But Rav Shimon holds like his father, Rav Shimon holds that a dava shein miskaven is mutter, the classic case that we had a few times in Shabbos that you're allowed to drag a bench, for example, and we're not worried that you're going to make a groove in the ground. Because it's not necessarily you that you will, because you're not meaning to make a groove in the ground. Same thing here. You're not meaning to make the hadas kosher, so therefore it should be allowed. It sounds like it means mutar l'chatchila. Because he says mamatin, you're allowed to. Don't Abaya and Rava both say that Rav Shimon does agree by psikresha? If you're doing something which inevitably is going to lead to a malacha, then you're not allowed to do it.
Right.
So, for example, with a heavy bench, you're not allowed to drag it because inevitably it'll dig up dirt. Same thing over here. Inevitably, by picking off the berries, you're making the hadas into a kosher hadas. Even according to Rav Shimon, how could that work? The answer is hach ma'askin and de'islay ashayna achruti. Okay, but here what we're talking about is that you have a different hadas available. So therefore, there's two ways of looking at it. One is that therefore it's not considered dava sheni miskaven, because therefore you're not meaning to make this hadas kosher, because you have another one available anyway. And the other way of looking at it is not considered psikresha, because in this case it's called psikresha deloy nichale, because in this case it is a psikresha, it is inevitable, but you don't necessarily want that benefit because you have another hadas available anyway.
even though you take it out.
Yeah. Tanarabanan, we learn in a braisa, hurta agdevi yamtev, if the binding of the lulav came apart on yamtev, you can tie it back together like you tie a bunch of vegetables together. When you tie a bunch of vegetables, you don't actually make a knot. You just, you know, you take the two ends and stick them in, and you know, you wind it around a few times and stick the ends in.
Right.
That's what you can do here.
Right.
Why not make a bow tie? Which is better than just tucking the ends in. Because, again, even the Chachamim hold you're supposed to make an egg because Zekeli Vanveyu, a bow tie is at least more of a knot than just tucking the ends in. The answer is Hamani Rabbi Yehuda. This Brai says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Doma Nivak Shiramah, you see, Rabbi Yehuda says that a bow tie is considered a real knot. It's just as much also on Shabbos as a regular knot. Well, in according to Rabbi Yehuda, then how does tucking the ends in work? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he said, Lulav Tzorich Eged, you need a real honest to goodness knot. So then, according to him, forget about a bow tie. According to him, then tucking in the ends is not going to work. But that's, according to him, it's still possible. According to him, it's possible without an aguda. Okay, so according to him, then you're stuck. You can't use that lulav on non yomtiv. You have to wait till Chalamayit. The answer is Haitana Savala Kabase Bahado Polygala Bahada. This Tana of this Braisa agrees with Rabbi Yehuda on the detail that Lulav that a bow tie is considered a tie, or Polygala Bahada, but he disagrees with him on the concept of Lulav Tsarich Eged. He holds that the Lulav is not Tsarich Eged. Therefore, all you have to do is tuck in the ends, you don't have a knot, but that doesn't matter. Because if it's true, if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, he would say there's nothing you can do for it on Yom Tov. The halacha is actually not like Rabbi Yehuda in either of those things. The halacha is a lulav does not need eged, and that a bow tie is not considered a knot. So therefore, if the thing comes apart on Yom Tov, you can actually tie it with a bow tie. You just have to be careful. You can't do a bow tie over a half hitch, because that's considered a real knot.